always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Police now believe it was a family argument that ended with three people shot and one stabbed in a terminal at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport last night. Phoenix Police Sergeant Myra Reeson.
We have one adult female who is listed in critical condition. It is life-threatening still at this point. Two adult males are listed in stable condition, and the adult male that had at least one stab wound is in stable condition.
The Wall Street Journal reports the Azerbaijan Airlines jet that crashed in Kazakhstan yesterday, killing 38 people, was likely hit by Russian anti-aircraft fire, which had been battling Ukrainian drones in that area. Reports out of Russia suggested the plane had suffered a bird strike. CBS's Cammie McCormick reports the Kremlin is stepping up security after an assassination by Ukraine last week.
Russia's top security agency says it's arrested several suspects involved in an alleged Ukrainian plot to assassinate senior military leaders. The head of Russia's chemical weapons was assassinated last week in an attack claimed by Ukraine. Now the Kremlin says there were several Russian military leaders to be targeted, and some of the plans also included remote-controlled bombs, one hidden in an envelope.
Countries around the Indian Ocean rim are remembering the 230,000 people who died 20 years ago today, when a 9.1 magnitude earthquake triggered a massive tsunami.
One of the biggest memorials was held in Australia.
Our first thoughts are with those who lost their lives, and those whose lives were changed forever.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
It was a natural disaster on a catastrophic scale, with a force that still has the power to shock two decades later.
One of the worst natural disasters the world has seen, when the tsunami tore through Indian Ocean countries. India, Sri Lanka, Thailand and Indonesia bore the brunt of the devastation that followed. Scott Maiman for CBS News Canberra, Australia.
Gaza health authorities say five Palestinian journalists were killed when an Israeli airstrike targeted their van outside a hospital. More from the BBC's Amir Nader.
Video from earlier in the night shows Ayman El-Jeddi in a press jacket with his colleagues, smiling, saying tonight he will become a father. Soon after, their Quds Today broadcast van, marked with large TV and press signs, was hit by an Israeli airstrike. It was parked outside a hospital in central Gaza's Nusayrat area, where El-Jeddi's wife was about to give birth.
Israel claims the van was filled with militants. Bird flu has prompted a pet food recall. CBS's Courtney Keeley explains.
Northwest Natural says it's voluntarily recalling a batch of 2-pound bags of its feline turkey recipe raw frozen pet food after it tested positive for the bird flu virus. Health officials say a fatal case in a domestic cat was reported.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers headed to the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Vikings Sunday. Game time now 3:25 in Minnesota. Green Bay clinched his spot in the playoffs after beating the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs excited to finally reach the postseason as a Packer after 5 years with the Raiders.
You got games in front of you. You know, we still fighting, you know, trying to be as best of a team that we can be. We finally put a complete game together. That's something that we've been hunting since the beginning of the season. I mean, it just feels like our ceiling is keep going up.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game, New Year's Eve, on the road at Providence. Senior forward David Joplin scored 19 in their win over Xavier. Joplin now has over 1,000 points in his career with the Golden Eagles.
He scored a lot of points. I'm grateful for him. You know, anytime you have someone that's scored over 1,000 points at the same school, you know, that you're just grateful that he's been around that long, and that we got, you know, two-thirds of our season left with him.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globe Awards are just around the corner. The award show does not anticipate as much controversy as last year, when host Joe Coy offended some of the attendees and writers. This year, comedian Nikki Glaser has been selected to host and will fly solo, making her the first woman to host the show alone. If you like watching celebrities squirm, you might want to check out the broadcast, because Glaser told People magazine she received advice from Ricky Gervais and intends to be edgy with the A-listers. The Golden Globe Awards will be broadcast January 5th. A fun tradition on Saturday Night Live has been the Christmas joke swap on Weekend Update for co-hosts Michael Che and Colin Jost, where they write jokes the other has to perform. Kind of cute, especially when one of them is married to Scarlett Johansson, Jost. Jost ripped on his own wife thanks to the jokes written by his co-host while she watched in the wings from backstage and cracked up. Very funny and worth a Google. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Beth Habhager, one of your co-hosts on Mornings with WFHR, wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Blessed New Year.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome to a special year-end edition of Up North News Radio. The theme this hour is a little more conversational with folks you've come to know here during our early morning visits. We'll have Joe Zepecki coming up, Melissa Baldoff, Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, and more. But we'll start with a conversation held just 2 days after the November election with Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin of Motherhood for Good. Their lives revolved around the mission to get busy moms to pay attention to politics and elections because of the direct impact on their lives from decisions made by politicians. There were good results, with Senator Tammy Baldwin winning re-election and new maps taking out about a dozen Republicans from the state legislature. But the big race, of course, ended in heartache. Still, you can hear in Kate and Nicole the determination not to let a presidential loss diminish the importance of civic engagement and their ongoing mission to make the words motherhood for good come to life. How are you guys? Seriously, Nicole, you can go first.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things. You just have to take it in and drink your water and sit on the couch and stare into the abyss for a bit. And then more importantly, reach out to your community. Like I will say, the thing that struck me very quickly is how many people reached out to me to ask if I was okay, which I was like so worried about all these other people. So what struck me very quickly is that we care. We have this network, and that's the base that you're going to need for the work that comes next.
That really was what a lot of yesterday was about, people reaching out and getting that sense of community and caring. Kate, I hope you had that same positive part of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to so many people yesterday, and you know, I think part, you know, people look to us also, you know, as kind of community leaders to make them feel okay and talk about what's next. And we've built up this like wonderful community at Motherhood for Good. So it was helpful to me even to like, you know, wallow for a little bit, but then really go into the mode of, you know, talking to all these people and, you know, telling them, yeah, it's going to be rough, but we're going to make it through together. And there are things we can do to keep moving forward. And this is how politics is, you know, it swings back and forth. Of course, this time is particularly scary for a number of very valid reasons, but you know, we're going to keep moving forward. It's never, ever over.
I think that, I mean, look, this would have been a not fun set of election results anyway, but I think in a way we kind of set ourselves up for further disappointment in that after the Dobbs decision, which was of course an earthquake, and drew an immediate backlash in state after state, red state after red state, voters showed up and said, no, we want to protect abortion rights. Even in Florida this week, the referendum failed, but it got 57% of the vote in Florida.
you know, but it didn't hit the 60% threshold needed down there to amend the state constitution. And I think with all those successes, it seemed almost, well, it kind of felt inevitable that it was going to lead to Kamala Harris being in the White House and work on, you know, codifying Roe v. Wade. And without any real setbacks since Dobbs, here's the first one, and it's, Nicole, it's a big one, and it sucks, but Kate's right, the work goes on.
It's so true, and I think the biggest call-out on all of this is the actual issues. People care about the issue. It's you know, if you strip the political party and the person running for election away from it, generally speaking, most people agree with the policies that the more progressive party is trying to forward. My sister lives in Missouri. She was very happy to see both minimum wage, paid sick time leave, and the abortion proposition be passed. So I think at the issue level, that is where the work needs to be. And what I would encourage everyone is to find something locally, get connected to ground-based level in your community, because the people that are going to be affected most by what's about to happen with a Trump presidency are the people who are most at risk and will be hit the hardest. So I would just encourage everybody to please get out there and start doing that work.
I'm glad you mentioned the Missouri ballot initiatives, though, because one of the things that was making people's heads explode yesterday was that people in these states were voting yes on these very progressive issues, and yet also voting for Trump or voting out two really good Democratic senators in Sherrod Brown in Ohio and John Tester in Montana, even as, again, they were embracing the policies. But so there's definitely something there about the Democratic Party brand that these issues that they hold dear are popular and get passed, but the party itself finds itself, you know, with an image problem. And I talked about that in the last segment, and we'll deal with that another time in terms of the media system that's out there for the right wing and all the groups that are out there. But you guys are part of the remedy for this, along with Up North News and Civic Media and a whole host of other things. So you're saying, Kate, you're keeping the band together.
I have so much to say about this. If yesterday I was sad, this morning I woke up with a fire in my belly. And I want to be careful with my words here because I am going to talk about this, but I want to do it in a way that's effective. But I think the Democratic Party and just like the other, you know, media entities that are aligned with it have a real reckoning in terms of how they're messaging to people and how that messaging is reaching people. Because, yeah, like you said, in a blind taste test, people like Democratic policies. They're struggling with electing the politicians. And, you know, yes, we are a part of that, but we are full on grassroots. And I have to say that means like full on unfunded. And the systems that are set up on the right are not only incredibly well funded and well supported, but they've been building up this infrastructure for more than 10 years. And I think we need to have a real conversation about how to reach and speak with real Americans.
It's kind of a case, Nicole, of saying, okay, all right, how do we make this productive and forward looking? And I imagine that's what you and Kate and some of the other folks will be doing as you look to 2025.
Yep, you're exactly right. For me, I'll tell you, my day yesterday started with a call at 6 a.m. from my college student who is non-binary, which is a parenting moment there is no playbook for, of how do you tell your kid it's going to be okay when you don't know it's going to be okay. So for me, yeah, you just do the work. You jump in and you make the world safe for the people who need it to be safe. First of all, there's going to be a lot of people affected. And on those issues, we can start that right now. We were already starting it. We're already doing it. So you're exactly right. How do we become more inclusive? Our messaging needs to be more appealing to more people. It can't just be all of the same people. So you're exactly right. We will jump in and start doing that work to get connected.
And I do want to add to what I was saying before. I just want to clarify that I think Kamala Harris was an incredible candidate, like yes, amazing. And I have had the chance to meet her twice, and she's so wonderful and warm and down to earth. And we are devastated that she lost. And even at the state level, there's so many candidates. So the issues I'm like kind of bringing to the surface don't have to do with the candidates. It's about like the consultants and messaging decisions and carefulness behind the scenes. I think, you know, the reason conservatives won is, for better or for worse, they found out how to talk to people like regular people and get on their level.
Nicole, I'm sure when your members gathered together, you had one set of activities for the election, but you're still going to be looking for new ways to increase civic engagement, you know, that isn't in an election season.
You're exactly right. Show up. That's literally, I think I wrote show up in more text messages yesterday than I ever have used that phrase. But there are people who are going to need us. And you're exactly right. For many of us, we will be okay. But those of us who are not, those are the people we need to stand up for and be visible and be vocal about it. Just stop this concern of using your voice. Just let it go. We're here. It already happened. Like, you just need to show up at this point. It's that important.
Our whole mission is to get moms and women engaged between cycles and build out that infrastructure and make people, you know, informed and engaged so that when these like critical elections come around in Wisconsin, which they always do, that they're easier to plug in and we don't have to ramp people up again. So there's going to be a ton of work to do, not only with the Supreme Court election, but we're going to have a lot of work to do with like calling members of Congress about legislation and stuff with this next administration. And we will have plenty for people to do.
Oh, there will be plenty to do. And while Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin show how to do it primarily from a volunteer standpoint, the case they're making and others as well is that the folks who are making these big donations to parties, to groups, to candidates have to think beyond the campaign mindset and have to be investing in people and groups and causes year round. Recently, we talked to Michael Horecki, who's worked on a number of campaigns and is among those trying to make that pitch to groups and investors that folks around Wisconsin, they don't want to be reached, you know, just once close to an election. They feel like nobody's listening to them the rest of the year, and there's something that can be done about that.
I think what your experience, and I know mine as well, is you've got a lot of talented young people who are excited to get engaged, right? It's such an important piece of this because it is critical to make sure that we're providing stability as well to these operatives, right? We got to be able to put them in an environment where they can practice and train their craft month over month in different settings, right? They can do it with labor unions, they can do it with third party interest groups, they can do it in messaging and communication firms around the state, and then they can do it on campaigns. And we can create an ecosystem to do that where we can then train and retain these people. But to do it, we have to have the resources. Right now, we are investing so much in short-term strategies, right? Like, we are investing in TV commercials, digital ads, radio, literature pieces, things that end after the cycle, and there's no staying power there. We as Democrats need to stop playing the short game, right? We need to stop playing the mindset that we're going to win every election. You hear this, every election is the most critical election we've ever had. They're all important. That's true. But if you think about even game theory, right, we have to have an infinite mindset, right? There's going to be an innumerable number of elections for the many, many years to come. And we need to invest in the infrastructure to start playing that infinite game, to start trying to win the long-term generational control of politics versus trying to win every single election, every single cycle. If you do that, you're going to come up short long-term. So this is the perfect place to trial a program to see if we can just move the needle just a little bit. Because that's all we really need here to have victory. And we know that millions and millions and millions of dollars are being spent here every single election cycle. A lot of it, though, is not going towards that long-term vision, right? So we have an opportunity here, I think uniquely, to trial something that, if it works, could be a model that could be applied across swing states nationally to show how we can do a better job building and retaining our talent pipeline.
We are just getting started on this year in review edition of Up North News Radio. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro is next. Joe Zepecki and Melissa Baldoff not far away. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Once again, it's the busy holiday season. Take the time to consider some financial moves before we turn the calendar to 2025. First, review your investment portfolio to ensure it is performing as expected and still fits your goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon. Next, consider adding to your 401k, and health savings account. And if you have a flexible spending account, you'll want to spend any unused funds before the year ends or else risk losing them. If you have children, consider opening a 529 education savings plan, which allows for tax-free withdrawals for qualified education expenses. Contribute to an emergency fund to help cover 6 months of living expenses or unexpected costs, such as a major home or car repair. And if you're 73 or older, make sure you take your required withdrawals from your traditional IRA so you can avoid penalties. Finally, review your estate plans, especially if you've recently experienced changes in your family situation, such as marriage, remarriage, or the birth of a child. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back on Up North News Radio. Again, our conversation with Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki coming up in just a few minutes. But first, a visit with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro. Elizabeth, how are you?
Doing well, Pat. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hope you're having a good holiday season here. And thanks for taking a little time to reflect back on 2024 as, I guess, are you appropriately described as the junior member of the club here? You're the most recent arrival, right?
I believe so, and I like that term, pulling okay. some congressional terms.
Yes, exactly. You know, I mean, it can't be Selena, because Selena and I worked at the same TV station, oh gosh, 20 plus years ago. And of course, Sharita and Christina have been around here for a while, but you've been just such a wonderful asset coming on board and doing all of these video explainer pieces. So if you're not following Up North News on social media, you got to fix that. And on, you know, TikTok especially, but elsewhere, Elizabeth just does these great explainer pieces to camera about different stories and what's the real story behind them. And I know this was a relatively new thing for you when we dumped it on you and said, here, Elizabeth, this is what you're going to do. You seem to have taken to it awfully well.
Well, thanks, Pat. And it definitely came in rapid succession. I think the first full week on the Up North News team was the week that President Biden dropped out of the race and we had a brand new candidate. So it's been full steam ahead.
Yeah, there really wasn't any time for orientation. It was, you know, hit the ground running, sink or swim, all those things. And we really appreciate what you did. And Elizabeth frequently appears on the radio show on Wednesday mornings in the 7 a.m. hour to talk about stories that she's working on. Selena Heller is on Monday mornings in the 7 a.m. hour. And then Sharita Booker, our social media manager, and Christina Laurie, our community editor, they're on during the 6 a.m. hour on Tuesdays. And I'm hoping in the new year we get a few more folks from Courier Newsroom, our parent company, and some other news outlets to come join us as well. We have all had a very busy 2024. And when I asked you to think back about, you know, the year and how you're going to remember it, I really liked hearing that you have found a way to creatively have a visual expression of 2024. It's not just memories. These are tangible objects that are true souvenirs of your year in reporting. Tell the folks what you did.
Well, like I said, Pat, I started with the Up North News team as right as we were getting a new presidential and vice presidential candidate. And with that, I ended up attending at least 10 Harris Waltz campaign events. So I accumulated quite a few press badges throughout the second half of the year. And instead of having all of these press badges collecting dust at my desk, as much as I like to hold on to those sorts of things, I figured, why not share the love? And I've actually added some holiday ribbon, and we'll be attaching those to some Christmas gifts for my parents and some other family members.
In other words, leave it to somebody else to throw away, you know, just
exactly.
They can decide if this is a sentimental memory or not. It's just funny because when you first start out in reporting and you go to like your first big event and you get your own badge, you know, and it's on a lanyard that you can put around your neck, and it's so special. I think of like the movie Wayne's World, you know, where they've got the backstage pass and, you know, Wayne and Garth are flashing their backstage pass. Everybody's like, I got this pass. By the end of it all, you've acquired so many of these things that if you try to wear them all around your neck, you'd choke. You look like, you know, Michael Phelps or Mark Spitz back in the day with all the gold medals. So they're great. They're great memories, but yeah, they do amass. And, you know, I think you found a good way to get rid of them. No, what did you say? Share the experience of the year.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I'm hopeful my parents at least won't toss it, that it'll actually at least go on the tree this year. You know, when I was working at Chicago Tribune, I was able to bring my parents into a Page One meeting one day, which my dad absolutely loved. So I'm hoping he holds on to this press badge as well.
Oh, he absolutely will. I mean, if my daughters did, I'd be doing the exact same thing. So I thought that was very, very cool. So looking through the year, obviously there were a lot of contentious issues. There were campaign events. But in terms of things that really made an impression on you when you look back on 2024, what are the kinds of stories that you were part of, that you attended and covered, that you think are going to stay in the memory banks when you look back at this year?
You know, I think two really stand out, aside from all of the campaign events that I attended, that really just, I guess, restored your faith in democracy and the process a little bit. The first one was actually on, election night. And I attended Central Count. I know we've talked about that earlier in the immediate aftermath of the election, but getting to watch all of these individuals that volunteered their time to be a part of that process, to count all of the ballots and make sure that everything went according to plan, and that laws were adhered to, you know, it was very just gratifying to see in action and really an act of service.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, because again, not everybody, a lot of people just voted on economic vibes and things like that, but it really felt good. The number of people that appreciated that democracy itself needed support like never before, and that democracy should be participatory, which is the other event that you said stuck with you this year.
Right. The other event that really stuck with me was attending a couple of the governor's budget listening sessions. The in-person one that I attended here in Milwaukee was an absolutely packed room, and just seeing everyone come together, whether they were fans of the governor or not, like party politics aside, you just had a packed building, packed rooms full of people wanting to voice their opinion and advocate for issues and policies in the upcoming biennium budget that they really care about.
Which, by the way, is a reminder that folks actually do want to feel like they're listened to. And so whether it's a governor or the legislature's Joint Finance Committee coming up, public participation is a good thing, especially if once the people have spoken, you know, some of those leaders, you know, carry through. And I think you'll see a lot of that in the budget bill that Governor Evers introduces sometime in mid-February. Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you so much for all your reporting this year. Have a great holiday season, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
We'll continue our conversations over the year in review with Melissa Baldoff and Joseph Becky coming up next. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. Wisconsin dairy researchers are looking to extend the squeakiness of cheese curds. We'll talk about how they're doing it next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Dr. Rani Govindasamy joins us from the Center for Dairy Research. She says a longer-lasting squeak could open more markets for fresh curds. They've partnered with the audiology department on the UW-Madison campus to measure the squeakiness of fresh cheese curds. She explains that curds squeak because proteins are rubbing against your teeth.
Think about balloons. You know, to talk about squeakiness, think about a balloon analogy. If you take two inflated balloons and you rub them together, you will hear a squeaky sound. Now, if you make the balloons lose air, they no longer have much resistance and will not squeak anymore when rubbed together. So I think it's the same analogy. If your cheese structure is no longer has that toughness or the firmness, and it becomes softer, it loses that squeaky note because there's no more resistance.
Dr. Rani Govindasamy joins us from the Center for Dairy Research with the balloon analogy to help understand the squeakiness of a cheese curd. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news in just a moment.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
The UW-Madison's Division of Extension and the Wisconsin Beef Council will be hosting in-person beef quality assurance certification meetings. This will be in the month of January and February. You can find a complete list of those meetings at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our morning e-newsletter. That's where you can get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. One of the stories today, Culver's Thank You Farmers Project has raised $1.5 million to benefit agriculture this year alone. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Ashley, your marketing consultant here at WFHR and WIRI, and I am here to help local businesses, big and small. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm back now on Up North News Radio with our friends Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki. Melissa helps us with Climate Check every Wednesday. Joe Zepecki does some political analysis for us on Thursday. And it's great to every so often talk to them both together about what's been quite a year. Melissa and Joe, good morning.
Hello, hello.
We were talking in the break about, you know, what we would kick around here. And I asked, you know, about the year, the results in November notwithstanding. And the fact of the matter is that Joe Zepecki and Melissa Baldoff, they did not have a bad year, results notwithstanding, which, again, it brings up the old joke. Apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? But the fact of the matter is there were definitely highlights from watching people come together and make their best efforts in 2024, right?
There's no question. Right? I mean, progressives took control of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and we picked up 15 seats in the legislature, and we have new maps that are more fair and more representative. Tammy Baldwin is going to be United States Senator for another 6 years. There's a lot to celebrate and be optimistic about. The challenge is we lost the big one, right?
Yeah.
That we're staring down the barrel of four more years of Donald Trump, and Trumpism and MAGA ascendant. And that says some things about our country that can't be unsaid. And it says some things about the way that politics and government are going to happen going forward that are going to impact us all. I think we know some of the ways, but I think we also don't know all the ways.
And we'd be dealing with Trumpism and MAGA whether he had won or not, because that is, you know, this was an incredibly close race. Donald Trump doesn't have the mandate that some folks, you know, in his party, some pundits even, some folks in the media are claiming he does. It was a very, very close race. It's not, he didn't win by the kind of margin that Joe Biden won by in 2020, for example. And clearly, there are a lot of people in this country, sadly, who like what he has to say. They like his policies. I would say he doesn't really have very many, but, you know, they like what he has to say. They like what he's all about. And we'd be contending with Trumpism and MAGA ideology, whether he had won or not.
Right.
So
250,000 votes change across the three states. Yeah, Trumpism goes on.
Right.
That's something we have to contend with either way.
Right. And we've talked about this, that, look, even if Republicans have the smallest majority, they still try to govern as if they can steamroll everything through. So
a mandate isn't just something you can declare. You can't just decide that winning less than half of the popular vote and a race decided by 249,000 votes across three states. Like, you can't just declare, like, in fact, the Republicans lost a seat in the House. You can't just declare that a mandate.
No, I think declare it like Michael Scott did bankruptcy.
it's not exactly like that. So we've established that, you know, it was still, there were highlights of the year, that there was going to be some form of Trumpism, whatever the result. So now we can talk more about the year that was, you know, in terms of, again, the highlights, because I know you both work with all kinds of people and clients and groups, and, you know, you're on the road talking to people as well. So Joe, I'll start with you from a protect or care standpoint, because not only were you active for that up here in Wisconsin, you were doing bus trips in other parts of the country, little bus tours, you know, media tours with folks about healthcare. You were, you know, I recall a trip out to New York to talk about climate matters. And so when you look back at the year, can you tell me your impressions on the energy of folks who tried to make good things happen this year?
Yeah, I think people are finding the motivation they need to stay in the fight and move forward. And there are things that we have to get done. Right now, it's, you know, during the holidays, it's open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And for one more year, in 2025, there's what are called enhanced premium tax credits available. So these are subsidies that make it more affordable for more families to have health care. And the way they work is you basically pay a proportion of your income, and that's how they determine what you pay for healthcare. It's not government controlled healthcare. It's, you know, the health insurance companies are doing just fine, let me tell you. But if Donald Trump in his next term as president and Republicans in the Senate and House don't get their act together, at the end of 2025, that's all going to go away. And that means that healthcare is going to cost more for hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites and millions of Americans. That is a thing worth fighting for. I know there are some on the left who are like, you know what? People voted for this. Let it just fall apart. Let it suck. And then they'll learn their lesson. That's not my view of the world. And that's not what we want to see. We want to see these tax credits extended so people can afford healthcare.
Melissa, I don't think I think what's going to become clearer to more Americans in 2025 is that something has to replace the 2017 Trump tax plan because of the way so much of it is going to start expiring. And he talked about it from a healthcare standpoint. You and I have talked about it from, you know, a climate and energy investment standpoint. So if you, you know, care at all about the climate, energy, infrastructure, manufacturing, anything, you're going to want to be involved in what is going to be probably a long drawn out tax debate, which I know for folks sounds boring, but boy, you guys appreciate more than anybody else how important every moving part is when your congressperson is doing some of the negotiating.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's incredibly important that even though it can be kind of a, you know, a dry subject that's not super exciting, it's not sexy, that people are paying attention, that they are engaged, that they're holding their members of Congress accountable, that they're paying attention to what they say, not just when they're in Washington, D.C., but when they're back home in their district, that, you know, that they're listening to what's going on, that they're paying attention, because we know that Republicans desperately want to make the conversation any about anything but what their actual plans are. You know, that's why they want to talk about what bathroom people are using and, you know, any other issue there is, because they know that when they start talking about their actual plans, that's not going to be popular. So they want to distract and talk about anything else and talk about weird stuff. So it's incredibly important that people pay attention, that they're aware of what's going on, and that they know what the outcome could be and how that would affect
it really
them.
Is going to be so important to pay attention, because I just the other day saw a headline that Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, a far right Republican, he's getting headlines for proposing a huge expansion of the child tax credit. I mean, so huge that a lot of Republicans are pushing back. And I think that that just might be the kind of head fake we're talking about. And I'm not here to tell you Josh Hawley doesn't care about kids. I'm just saying that from a political strategy standpoint, that something doesn't seem right. And keep an eye on, you know, wait for the other shoe to drop, Joe.
Yeah, we cut child poverty by half in this country because we had a child tax credit that was direct paid into the bank accounts of moms and dads across this country. And over the course of 18 months, 2 years, child poverty was reduced by half in this country, and Republicans let it expire. We should have a child tax credit. We should probably have a bigger child tax credit. And I think what one of the things we have to do on the left is like have the conversation in that vein of like, great, we did this, it worked. You took it away, Republicans. Now you want to come back to the table? Okay, we're willing to deal, but we're not going to let the American people forget that the reason we have to have this conversation again is because you screwed it up in the first place.
Long story short, you're going to have no lack of things to talk about after you take a break. Are you guys getting like a break around the house? Do you travel for family? How do you ring in the new year?
We do. We usually over the holidays between Christmas and New Year's like to go down to Florida to visit my family who's all down there. So that's exactly what we're going to do this year. And head down to Florida to spend some time with my family down there and get some fun in the sun.
And now that you've had a little time with Joe with the election over, where you guys are apart working on your various election things, Are you prepared now at this time, especially after winning the NBA Emirates Cup, are you prepared to lose Joe to Bucks fever for the rest of the season?
I mean, I am, but I think the bigger question is he prepared to lose me to Florida Gators basketball fever? Because my Gators are undefeated right now. We just saw them with a great win recently. So, you know.
Look at this. She's busting up brackets already.
Here's the bracket she can't bust. By the time this airs, there will probably be a resolution in our round one of the playoffs in fantasy football head-to-head matchup. You got to come back in 2025 to learn who won that and by how much.
You guys are in fantasy football league together? That's a bold move.
We're in two fantasy football leagues together.
Wow.
And neither of us are going to win this league. You might.
There's still bragging rights. Okay.
But one of the ones we're in, our son won the whole league. He went undefeated in the league.
And in the other one, he didn't make the playoffs. So don't let anyone tell you that fantasy football is anything other than
dumb luck.
Playing the slots.
Well, it's yes, dumb luck. Yes. And only some of the most intense biblical scholars have looked and found that the rest of 1 Corinthians reads, love is patient, love is kind, but really tough to do when you are in fantasy football together. Somehow you guys managed to pull that off and impress us like you always do. Melissa and Joe, thank you so much for everything this year. Appreciate your time, your service. Have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you in the new year.
All the same to you, my friend.
Thanks.
And we've got a little time here, so let me play back, if you missed it the first time, some of my Courier Newsroom colleagues from around the country telling me what they thought happened in their swing states as well. You had Billy from North Carolina, Sean from Pennsylvania. You had Kyle from Michigan. And in all cases, it was hard for them to find much of any fault with the Harris-Walz campaign, maybe a few minor decisions here and there. But folks were thinking about the economy all year long and voted with their pocketbook as much as anything else.
I think that, you know, just like y'all in your swing states, we saw a lot of them. We saw a lot of the candidates, and the messaging was, you know, remarkably disciplined, I thought. And for what it's worth, I know there are going to be a lot of people who second guess what Harris's campaign did. But for the situation that she was put in partway through a presidential election year, she did a remarkable job of galvanizing people and getting them out. Honestly, I don't know if there was something she could have said or done much differently in a year when people just weren't happy with how much they were paying at the grocery store. And I think that there are, you know, one of the problems with that is I flat out don't think that traditional media explained very well how inflation worked or how it was impacting people or what the candidates' policies were going to do along that. But I think that was a big thing there. So I'm not so much critiquing the Harris campaign. I'm sure there were things she could have done differently.
In the final month, 6 weeks out of the election, mm-hmm. going to a lot of different things. With regards to the campaign, I don't know if they could have done anything different. I personally thought it was an interesting choice for them to have two or three high-profile Republicans for Harris events in the Philadelphia suburbs when they didn't have any rallies with base supporters, base Democrats in the final weeks of the election.
What's going to stand out for you in terms of the way that you covered and your team covered the 2024 campaign? Let's start in Michigan there, Kyle.
I'm trying to think of a moment that stood out to me from this election cycle, and it has to be at the when it was pretty clear that Trump was going to win at the end of the night. I was in Detroit at the Michigan Democratic Party's watch party. Talked to a lot of voters. There was just kind of a mix of determination and this sense of disillusionment, I guess, among Democrats who realized how much work it takes to maintain this progress and how fragile it can be. So it was a big reminder for me that every election is a chance to kind of learn, adapt, understand the pulse of the electorate, and realize how we can repeatedly get it wrong. So that was one big takeaway.
We've definitely learned that. We've learned again how easy it is to get things wrong. Cam, what'll stand out for you when you look back at 2024?
I think our strengths in reporting really shone through when we focused on tangible issues over the idealism of some more established candidates.
Remember, you can follow us at UpNorthNewsWI.com, sign up for our newsletter,
and follow us on social media. We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Happy Holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
You're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Are looking back at some of our lighter moments in 2024, which is not a bad thing to do when you consider some of what else we'll remember about 2024. We're going to close out with Greg Bach's red hot take on why a certain sandwich, a classic sandwich, is in his mind garbage. But first, Kristen Lyerly, mother of four boys, on having the youngest get his license and being starstruck as she campaigned over the summer.
But can I tell you the best thing about yesterday?
Tell me the best thing about yesterday.
Oh my gosh, Pat, Bart Starr is my very favorite Packer forever. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Bart Starr era. Right. He was the coach. It was after he was an incredible player. And, you know, he wasn't the most successful coach. He also wasn't positioned to be the most successful coach, but he was still like such an incredible icon and a community figure in the Green Bay area. I got to meet Bart Starr Jr. yesterday and spend some time talking about all of this and politics and how we can do community building together and all the work he's doing in Birmingham, Alabama, and how he loves this place up here that, where he grew up and how fond he is. It was, I'm just going to carry this conversation in my heart forever. It was such a beautiful, important moment.
Well, that's so nice. Yeah. Glad you got that moment.
I love how much you love life.
I know.
Seriously, it's just inspiring. You just is. You're always so excited, even at 6:45 in the morning
on a Monday. Yes,
on Monday.
I know. Other people are like that too. There's Alicia Saunders who's putting on YouTube here. I love our amazing paper maker kids.
She's saying that to get under my skin because I'm from Kakana.
I know.
Yep. And there's the rivalry.
Yes, yes. But she noted the tailgating was a lot of fun yesterday. And then she sends this note that you're going to have to explain to people. Happy birthday to little PK.
Oh, it's little Pat Kreitlow's 16th birthday today.
To be clear, again, standard disclaimer, I did not know Kristen Lyerly 16 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need some...
The resemblance is absolutely frightening. So
I have a child who is Pat Kreitlow's clone.
It is.
I mean, physically...
When I met him the first time, I thought I'd stepped through a time portal or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and that was mutual. We were sitting at Culver's together, all eating the same type of meal, yep. And they were looking at each other, and you could feel the energy coming off of it.
It's just like I wanted to reach over and like, is this a hologram? What is this? he had the same glasses, the same hair, the same bowl haircut. He was smart. He was sassy. I was like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I just think of that scene from Forrest Gump where they both sit down to watch TV and tilt their head the same way.
So, anyway, yes. But no, what this means is having a fourth and final son who's a driver.
The caboose.
Yes.
After all of these years of driving them around and all of the stuff we've had to do as parenting. Yeah, yesterday or tomorrow he takes his driver's test and then he's going to drive off into the sunset.
You have three other boys. Mm-hmm. How did you not as a mom be like, all right, one of you drive them around? Like, it's like, well, as soon as the you got two of them are driving, like, all right, that your chauffeur's now. I'm going to relax a little.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But as a parent, though, you like that car time. Because they're stuck with you and they have to talk to you.
Yep. That's right. That's why we did it.
I'll give you $5 if you don't look at your phone on this drive.
Every morning at 6:50, we have our history lesson. Birthdays, music history, the National Day Calendar. August was National Sandwich Month. We talked about it every day, and Greg promised a hot take on one particular sandwich near the end of the month, and I gotta say, it was a first for me. This is Women's Equality Day. This is Cherry Popsicle Day, and Greg, 30 seconds to give me your hot take on National Sandwich Month.
Oh, no. Yeah, BLTs, not only do I not like them, I think they're a waste of time, a waste of money, and they're an anti-sandwich, and I hate them. And people who like them, I'll never understand it. You can't be satiated by a BLT. It's garbage.
I like
that.
Wow.
Straight hot garbage.
All right, well, with that, we bid adieu to National Sandwich Month. We're just going to cut it off early right there with that kind of a take. That was on a Tuesday. We were still fighting it out on Wednesday. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you, mostly a question for, well, Greg as well, but here's my question for you. Aren't BLTs the best? I had a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich for dinner last night, and it's the perfect light summer sandwich. Here with an opposing viewpoint. Here with an opposing viewpoint is Greg Bach.
Disgusting.
We apparently ignited something yesterday with Greg's hot take that he is not a fan of what you lovingly refer to as the trash sandwich. That is the BLT, which coincidentally was happening as it was planned in the Kreitlow kitchen last night. And I have to say, maybe it was just spite I was tasting, but it was one of the most delicious BLTs we've ever made. It was
great. You posted on Twitter about it. It was a spite sandwich. Okay, yeah, please don't. There's no such thing as a delicious BLT.
Oh, come on. Now, where did this start?
Because it's a salad. That's all it is. It's a salad held together by two big croutons. That's it. Because it's lettuce, tomato, and bacon.
Yeah,
that's it. That's
what sandwich. What good meat sandwich isn't meat with some lettuce and tomato?
But bacon's barely a meat for a sandwich. Like, you put bacon on the sandwich. It's an addition. It's not the main. It's not the star of the show. It's a feature player on SNL at best.
Oh, I can't believe a red-blooded American male is saying this about bacon.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't love bacon as much as everybody else does, apparently. I think bacon's fine. It does its job. It's, you know, it's a carcinogen. But the point is, take a BLT, cut it in four pieces, put it on a plate, and if you serve that as an appetizer, okay, here we go. Get me started. Then we're going to order our entree. But you expect me to eat that as, like, the meal? Get out of my house.
So no BLTs for Greg as we close out this hour's review of 2024, as brought to you weekday mornings from 6 to 8 here on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back live starting at 6 a.m. on Thursday, January 2nd. Remember, you can always follow us at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media. Have a great day. We'll see you next time, Up North.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There are tributes today for the hundreds of thousands of people who died in the Indian Ocean tsunami 20 years ago today. The BBC's Jonathan Head is in Thailand, where many tourists perished.
It needed the most enormous aid effort to help these places recover. Sometimes we wept with them. You just couldn't help but be overwhelmed.
Russian reports suggested a bird strike caused the crash of an Azerbaijan Airlines jet in Kazakhstan. But CBS's Cammy McCormick tells us there's another theory.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting the passenger jet headed for Russia was likely hit by Russian anti-aircraft fire. It had diverted over an area where Moscow's air defenses have battled Ukrainian drones.
38 people were killed. In Rome, CBS's Sabina Castelfranco reports Pope Francis has brought his 2025 Jubilee year to the city's main prison.
He opened the holy door of the prison chapel for the 2025 Jubilee year, one of the five holy doors that will be opened for this special year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.